Can you hear me?
Yep.
I think I need another earphone because I'm hearing this tapping noise in my ear. Are you hearing it?
No.
Okay. We're not recording all. Oh,
we definitely are.
Hey girl, hey.
Hey boo.
How are you?
I'm sleepy.
Yes. Freaking ma'am. Tired as heck. So listeners, we hope that our voices are reflecting how we feel. Because we are both very tired. And I'm trying to sip through it.
Yes, I have my thought of Rita.
Yes.
Trying to sip through it as well.
I am drinking this Crown Vanilla. Mm. And yeah. Sip sippy.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
Excuse me. So, JT and I got into our first big argument since we've been back together last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent all weekend making up. And I feel like what you said was true. Like, really? We just needed to have sex, and now look at us.
Like, that's all you needed. It was just a little frustration. You was acting like a brat. You was like, you know what? I just need me some, and yeah. I'm good now.
Yeah, basically. let me see. We went to Richmond, and mm-hmm. we hung out there for a little bit.
So sad.
For the most part, we just, yeah.
Made up. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Weekend?
Full of turn up.
What happened this weekend?
I went
to
trap karaoke at the little Howard, not the little, but the Howard Theater. Mm-hmm. And honey, it was lit. So I went with a good friend of mine. We was like, all right, we're gonna have a, like, literally, we was like, we about to have a girls' night. Like, I mean, she got her husband to drive us there and to pick us up. So, like, we was like, we about to get messed up. And just turn up so we don't have to worry about somebody driving. We don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, like, how are we going to do this? Just get into it. First of all, it was cold as hell outside. So when you drink, you need to think your plans out before you drink, because neither one of us was thinking. We were just like, well, we got to ride there and back, so we don't have to worry about walking or looking for Uber or nothing like that. So we got on our little outfits. And like thin coats, and it felt like we was slammed in the Arctic.
Yikes.
And had to stand in line. Like, why did no one think that you had to stand in line to get into this venue? Like, just because you have a ride there does not mean you're in VIP and you're walking in
right.
the door. Girl, that daggone wind went right to our bones. But so we go, and we go in, and who is the first person I see when I walk in the door with my friend? Duncan. Duncan Pendergrass. <Well, laughs> So I was like, what you doing here? The crazy thing is I had actually hit him up asking about parking, about the situation, like where it was at. And I'm just asking because I knew he had been to like different concerts and stuff there. And he never once mentioned that he was going. And he said he thought that I asked because I knew he was going. I said, absolutely not. But long story short, this man ended up singing a song. He got picked because, like, with trap karaoke, for the listeners that don't know what that is, like, basically, you get, it's like karaoke, but, like, at a big venue.
It's nigga karaoke.
Yes, you sing. And the one thing that is a little bit deceiving, everybody doesn't sing just trap songs, because somebody definitely sang a Beyonce song. But I was here for it, because it's Beyonce. But... it was so much fun. Like, it really, really, really was a good time. Like, I think everybody should at least go at least once. I would like to go back, and already have my song in mind.
My mother was there, apparently.
Yes, indeed. I didn't see, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird. Girl, sit your ass at home. You somebody, grandma.
Look, she said, I'm trying to go get my trap karaoke on.
Girl, your granddaughter's 11. Boys, you chill.
time and I enjoy myself. Then my boss is in town for the week and she definitely came bearing sexy gifts. She made some coquito, the little Puerto Rican eggnog, which is everything because I love eggnog. And I've always been trying to hunt down me a Puerto Rican friend that can make me some. And she's not Puerto Rican, but her husband is, and gave her the recipe and it's everything. But yeah, that's it. Full of drinking. And that was my weekend. But let's see. What are we on? We are on episode 19, y'all. Like,
yay.
We're pushing through. And this week we are going to chat about pressure busting pipes, pretty much. Last episode we was talking about levels of crazy and maybe some of this pressure is why the hell we crazy, you know what I mean? So we're just right. And what we mean about pressure is just basically why women, and not just women, their own feelings, but even society is putting pressure that, you know, they should get married, they should have kids, they should do this, that, and the third, and just all the pressures that women have to face. And that's what we're going to be chatting about this week. So I personally feel like society does put a lot of unfair pressures on women. I know you see it in real life. You see it on shows where women can have like bomb ass jobs and like they can be at the highest peak of their careers. They can be trying to make partner at a law firm or like even be an entrepreneur and like everything is lit. But people still looking at them like they don't have real success because like where your man's at? Why you ain't in a relationship? Why you ain't married? Or like, you ain't got no kids yet. So I feel like that age where people start giving you the side eye is like 30. I'm going to say past 30 because they give you a pass at 30, but like 31, they just like, all right, so what you doing, bro? Like, where your kids and shit at? Where your man?
Definitely. I mean, I agree. There's definitely a bunch of pressure. I just want to let the listeners know that I have articles and shit today. I'm like, I got like four or whatever.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, get a check.
One of them is they interview like a set of women and it's basically just like some of their responses. But before I start on that, it's crazy because yesterday, I was hanging out with my friend Will, and we were talking about how we view our lives right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not even just marriage, like pressure, our parents, for instance, have pressure on where we should be in our lives. And mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, I feel like that's unfair to our generation because, you know, you think about 40 years ago, the American dream, and I'm not saying it was easy, mm-hmm. but the American dream, you know, you went out there, you found a job, and if you worked hard and long enough, you could have a successful career. Mm-hmm. You would go ahead and get your house and your spouse and your two kids, your white picket fence, and like, that was the dream. And I feel like, in my opinion, it was more attainable than it is now because now it's just hella expensive to live. You know what I mean? And there's not, there are still those jobs out there, your laborer type jobs, but those jobs are not the ones that are going to get you that white picket fence like how it could back then. And so I feel like the American dream has not grown with the times. And so for someone like, for instance, I know my father and I, we had gotten to a heated debate about like what my choices were after I had my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I feel like it's messed up that when I went to inquire about joining the military, I was asked to develop a parental plan and basically give my rights to her away, at least while I went through boot camp and all that other good stuff, because I was a single mother. I was like, and I was trying to tell him, yeah, but I was telling my father, I was like, you had a kid when you joined and they never asked you for that because the expectation doesn't rests on a man to take care of the children. It's on us.
It's the mother, right?
So I had to break all that down because I'm like, you know, you're talking as if it's still the 80s. Like, this ain't the 80s anymore. It costs like 5 times more for most things, you know, now, but the salary of most people hasn't changed as much. Mm-hmm. So the American dream to me is just not fair for people to put on the younger generations, knowing that inflation is hella real.
And not even that, I feel like the younger generation don't even have the same American dream that our parents had, because these men out here trying to fight and bop. Ain't nobody trying to settle down and have no family and no picket fence. The women probably are, or some of them, because I know some women that ain't even hitch or checking for that.
But the men were fighting and bopping then too. They just were married and fighting and bopping elsewhere.
Tis true. Tis true. This is true.
So you know, when I tie that into women and marriage, even though the times have changed, that pressure still, the pressure of getting married to me is another one of those things where I feel like that expectation should change with the times. You have mm-hmm. to understand, at one point, women couldn't work. Right. We couldn't vote. We didn't have the same rights as men. So, of course, you would want your daughters to go out here and get married as soon as possible and hopefully get married to someone that would take care of them financially and so on and so forth. Right. But we're not in that day and age. Right. So I don't understand why the pressures and the expectations of women and of the younger generation have stayed the same when everything else surrounding that shit is different.
As a move, right. Yeah. Right. That's definitely true. They would definitely look at you like you're an alien. Like, I saw a quote by Tracy Ellis Ross, where she was basically saying that it's interesting to be in her position because she's a woman that's 45, hasn't been married, and don't have any kids. And she's like, especially when she's on here on Blackish and then pushed out her fifth kid. So, you know, just to be that age, and you know, and it could be for numerous reasons, but it's still that pressure or that ideal that society is like, this is what women should be doing. Like, why are you're so successful, you have so much money, you're doing so well for yourself, why you ain't married yet? And like, what you was about to say?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say, I was looking at something online, and it was like the most heard statements by like unmarried or kidless women in their 30s and up is basically, it's probably like, what, 4 or 5. You just haven't found the right guy yet. Or what are you going to do? Why is someone like you single? Have you ever thought about having kids on your own? And oh, you poor thing. And I just don't understand why it's put on us. Like, what y'all men doing out here? Maybe because I ain't met nobody like that stands up to my expectations. Just like women is supposed to have a list of things, women have the right to expect a list of things from men as well. And it's some women out here that's just not their priority. They success to them doesn't equal having kids. And I know from being married and having kids, it's a bunch of responsibility. Like, it's a lot more stuff, it costs more daggone money, and like, you lose your freedom to be selfish. You can't just up and be like, you know what, got this paycheck, bills paid, I'm about to just fly out the country X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Now when you have kids,
that life sounds lit.
Look, so super lit. And you just can't do that. So some people are not willing to give up that freedom, and they are happily content with where the hell they are. And I think that's okay. I 100% think it's okay.
So the conditioning for women, mm-hmm. I believe it starts very, very early. And I feel like even us as moms, we kind of help continue that thought process. And we don't even realize it because it's so ingrained in us. So, you know, like toys, for instance, I know me, I don't like baby dolls, but I've always loved Barbies.
Right.
And there are so many Barbies that have like wedding dresses on and stuff like that. But when you think of like action figures, there's no
groom. Married man.
Yeah, there's right. no married man that's the action figure. So even the things that we learn as kids, I mean, I know my best friend and I, we've had conversations before how like we just expected to have been married a lot sooner mm-hmm. than what we ended up, you know, the age we ended up getting married. Right. And honestly, now that I am married, I tell my daughter all the time that I don't think she should get married in her 20s at all.
I like, wholeheartedly agree.
I am like totally in my, for whatever reason, my daughter's like, I want to get married when I'm 22. And I'm just like,
yeah. That's too young. Like, I know for me growing up, thank goodness my dad and my parents weren't that type that's like, you know, you got to get you a good man and blah, blah, blah. I don't know what my dad went through in his life, but he, I remember from young ages, like, I mean, in like junior high, where he was just like, you don't need to be dependent on no man. You need to be smart enough where you can get a job or a career where you can sustain yourself. You don't need to be dependent on these little niggas out here because they ain't about nothing, which I'm so glad he kept it real with me because my third eye was open at a young age. Like,
y'all, I was the opposite.
My dad was like, I'll have my third eye. I'm like, y'all really out here just trying to get some ass. Like, my dad told me. And y'all was for real. And, like, they never really was pressuring me to be like, oh, you know, you need to get married. Like, when you going to have kids? Like, and it could be because they just ain't like none of my exes. That could have been the tea, too. But they just were like, look, focus on getting yourself together. Get you a job. Get your life together. Because how you going to join somebody else and you ain't got your own shit together? And I actually thanked them for that, which is wild because when I met my husband, I was super nervous to even, like, let them know, like, hey, there's this guy. And, you know, then the whole engagement thing when we announced that. And then when I was pregnant, like, I was nervous because I was like, they ain't really want this for my age. And let me tell you, listeners, I was not young. Like, I literally got married when I was 31. And also had my first child, gave birth to my first child when I was 31. So look, it's not like I was out here at 21. But what's crazy is growing up, I had in my mind that I would have been married like right out of college.
Because you had that in your mind?
Yes. But the crazy thing is like I wasn't brought up for that. Like that wasn't ingrained in me by my parents.
But that's what I'm saying. Somehow low key it was. It has to have been because so many women I know just expected to have been married so young. Because you're saying right out of college.
For sure.
Mara is saying around the same time. I know me and my best friend, same thing. Like we had an age in mind.
That's what it was supposed to be. Like, yes. But at the same time, once you get to that age and realize how much you don't have your shit together at that age. And like when at the time, like I was with my high school sweetheart, we went to college and we had planned our whole life together. Like after I, you know, get out of college, like we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, guess what? Life hit. He became a whore. We broke up and, you know, life went on and that little fairy tale did not happen. And like I said, at that age where you feel like, okay, like back then I should have been, you know, settling down and having my first kid at like, what was that, 22 or whatever that age is. Like, I was not where I needed to be financially. Like, dog, I graduated college and moved right back in with my parents because, like, who was about to afford a house straight out of college and you owe student loans? Like, let's keep it funky. I need to find me a job or figure out if I'm going back to school and go to grad school. Like, that's what needs to be figured out. So it's like this. For me, I don't know where that came from, but I know never did my parents ever, like, they wasn't even here for, like, they didn't even really want to hear about no boyfriends and this, that, and that. They're like, girl, it's too much going on in life than you chasing after some boy or trying to be in some relationship. You got other things. So I honestly don't know where that was ingrained in me.
I feel like it's bigger than just our parents, because I can't remember my father saying anything either way. I just know that in my mind, I was going to be married young, and I was going to be one of those people that was married for like 80 years or whatever. Right. But right. I know that, like, So for me, it wasn't like I got to that age and then reality hit. I got to that age and I started being depressed and feeling like a failure for not
having those things at that
having
time.
Having those things. So like my high school moving into college boyfriend, I just for sure knew love of my life that we were going to get married, and that was law. Right. But he was a whore. Did and he? Then I rebounded with someone and had my daughter.
Look you at know, life laughing right? at us like, what you thought?
So, I definitely never thought I would be somebody's baby mama. That was never in my damn cards. It was always like, if I have a baby with somebody, you fuck with me, you stuck with me. That was my motto. Mm-hmm. And Lord knows I tried. But, no.
It was
but
not so, in the cards.
Then my next relationship was a very violent relationship. And so after that, I just kind of was like, I kind of felt like something was wrong with me, because it's like, at that point, I should have been married for like at least 3 or 4 years in my
mind.
At
that point, right.
Then I went through my little hoe phase. Then I was still kind of in my hoe phase, but not as hoe-ish. And I started like not all my friends, but like some of my friends started to like settle down in these more serious relationships. Some of them started getting married and some of them started doing X, Y, Z. And so it was just like, I still felt like kind of like a failure, because it was just like, I know this is what I want, but you know, why the fuck am I the only one? Like I was the single friend forever.
Right.
And like, I don't have a problem with saying this because JT and I have talked about it, but I feel like we got married way too fast. And maybe a lot of that was on me wanting to be married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And although him and I have known each other since 2001, I can say that I know for me, I blindly went into it just like, it'll work because we've been friends for so long. But honey, let me tell you. And had we waited and dated, because him as my friend is totally different than him as my husband.
Right.
Had we dated longer, I feel like some of the issues that we had early on, we wouldn't have had. But I, like I said, I feel like a lot of it has to do with me. Just, I wanted to be married. I wanted to be with somebody. And yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I wonder where that is. Like, is it subconsciously when we're watching like different shows or like TV? Because like you said, nowhere did your parents specifically sit down and kind of state that this is what you should be doing. And that's not what was, you know, being displayed or said in my household either. So I'm just wondering how those sort of, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be, quotation, air quotations, what I'm supposed to be doing at this age. And why the hell we think that in your early 20s, we would have it together like that soon to be like starting a family.
I don't even have it together now.
Look, and this is, and that is definitely not to knock anybody, because look, there's some people out here right out of high school, F of college, right out of high school, got good jobs, got careers and stuff and had children and are doing great. So I'm not saying that you can't go down that path and get everything that, you know, society says you should have and that what you want. But normally in your early 20s, we are still trying to figure it out. Like, there's always exceptions, but especially straight out of college, look, I'm trying to figure out who I'm supposed to send this student loan check to, right, and what job I'm supposed to have to even pay this check. And look, why, who knew that rent was this much and where am I about to live? So it's just, I agree that I do not think that my daughter should get married in her 20s. Like, I feel like that's a time where you need to continue to explore who you are and
find
what you
yourself.
Want. Exactly. Yes. You need to figure that out before you jump in a relationship and you're trying to figure out what you want while you're with someone else. Because, yeah, that's like messy and a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
So the article, one of the articles real quickly on womenshealthmag.com, there were like, that's the one where I said they were just interviewing people. And one of the things that someone said was like, you know, the pressure from other people you know, when this one person said, you know, when she got closer to her 30s, people started asking, like, so when are you going to settle down? And when are you going to do this? And when did you do that? And she was like, the pressure itself made dating harder than it had to be, Pause, because you're going into, you know, every time you're meeting a guy,
it's and my you're possible groom.
If he's the one.
Right.
And I that I can relate to so much, because it's like, I feel like, honestly, I should have spent more of my time just having fun, like, mm-hmm. not taking these niggas seriously, because these niggas wasn't taking me seriously, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And not on some whole shit, but just on some, like, all right, let me just have fun. Let me just go mm-hmm. out. Like, what's wrong with going out with different people and meeting new people and doing new things? But right. my mindset, especially up until I was, like, 24,
mm-hmm.
was just, like, I'm trying to find a husband, because, yeah, 24 is when I started my whole shit. So, yeah, like, but now when I think about that, I'm like, 24, like, husband, what are you talking about? Like, I should have been 20, 21 out here just dating. I should have, in my mind, I feel like I should have had a new date every goddamn week. I should have just been out here living my life instead of trying to settle down and, oh, is he the one? And not even just that, but I tell JT all the time that he got the short end of the stick, because when I was with my high school boyfriend mm-hmm. and then when I was with Mara's dad, I tell him I was very domesticated. I was right. very much like, let me cater to you, because baby, every day is your day. And like, very much a cooking, cleaning type of bitch. And I'd be looking at JT like, oh, the house dirty, what's up?
What you
rock,
about
paper,
do?
Scissors.
Right.
Yeah. And if you get rock, you better pray.
Right.
That I got paper, because I'm still not doing the shit. Like, and it's, I feel, sometimes I feel bad for JT, but it's just like, I did all that for these niggas that was, they were still some shit. So like,
right.
that behavior, the things that you think you have to behave a certain way to become a wife, you have to do this to become a wife, I found out was bullshit, because I, in my mind, I was doing all the things that I was supposed to do to become a wife.
And they still cheat, or they still leave you.
Right.
So, what's the point?
And now I'm raggedy as fucking. I'm somebody's wife, so, you know.
So stupid. I kind of went through that, where I was like, I was in long-term relationships back to back to back, like from high school all the way on up till age 27.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally in back-to-back relationships with, like, when I say short, I mean very short periods of being single. So, like, I was, like, a relationship hopper, and, like, we'll go from one long-term relationship to the next, to the next. And then it was, like, 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those were, like, the best 2.5 years of my life. It was a very late time to have fun and be out in the streets, but
it's not late, though.
I had fun, honey, and had fun and bumped into my husband. So, look, I was like, you know what? How about I just chill? Because I never had a point in my life where I wasn't in a relationship and felt like, you know, not that I had to report to somebody, but, like, it was just all this pressure to, like, be in a relationship. I'm like, you know what? Let me just live life. And it was a good time. And, yeah, yeah, that was a good time. I'm gonna leave it there.
So, but, and you know, we're saying all this, and all of this is fine, but I'm gonna be honest, married women look down on single women.
Why do you say that?
Because they fucking do. And I can't remember, and I was trying to find an episode that you and I were talking about somebody, and I can't remember I can't even remember who it is or what episode it was, but we were talking about somebody who's single, and you were like, I mean, but she's single as fuck, so, I mean, here we are. Like, I don't know, like,
I said that, what was that about? Because I got single friends, and I don't feel like I look down on them in their situations.
No, that's your single friends, but, like, random bitches, you know. You definitely, especially if Like,
now I know if I feel like there's a single woman and she's commenting on what a married person is supposed to be doing and speaking on what marriage and what these married women need to be doing to please their husbands, then you need to have several fucking seats, because like you said, the quote, you're single as fuck. So like, please get a marriage and experience what this shit is before you get to trying to be Dr. Phil or Ayanla.
Okay, well, so I'm gonna put my sister out there, because I can't, like I said, I can't remember exactly which episode it was. And I didn't feel like going through 18 episodes trying to figure it out. My sister, when I went to see her in Hawaii, we were talking, and she was like, she doesn't hang out with a lot of women because a lot of the women are single, and she feels like she shouldn't hang around. She feels like when single women go out, they're going out to find men. And so she's like, well, I'm, you know, that's not the type of environment I want to be in. Like, single people go out to do single things. So if I'm gonna hang out with somebody, I feel like they need to be married. And I was just kind of like, wow, that's crazy, because I literally have a group of friends that I met when I was like in the peak of my whole shit, and all them niggas was married, like,
right,
or in really serious relationships. Like, you were married, Duncan was married, that old joint that I used to be friends with was engaged. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
it was like a mix of people, because it was like definitely single people, married people, dating casually and serious dating people, engaged people. And like, nobody ever pressured anybody to be like, all right, bitches, I'm out here to get a man tonight. Like, it's,
and that was my thing. And that's what I was trying to explain to my sister. I was kind of like, you know, if first of all, I would not put my married friends in any weird situation when I was single. Like, I would never do that to them because I have respect for them. At the same time, if I see a fine ass nigga, like, my friends know who I am. So like, if I see a fine,
and your married
nigga,
friends ain't gonna be blocking, be like, come on, Shay,
right?
Why are we doing this now? Like, you know, like this, you better get that nigga, like, girl,
right? So I mean, and not just her. I have another girlfriend who kind of feels the same way. Like, now that she's married, you know, she only likes to really deal with other married women. And so I'm saying, like, I really do feel like married women judge single women a lot, especially when they're over a certain age.
That sucks. Like, I get like having a married friend circle, because it's certain conversations and right. certain like stuff that you can bounce ideas and feelings off of a married person that maybe a single person, they can give their opinion, but they don't have the experience, and that's no shade, but they weren't in that. They haven't been in certain situations being married, and it's certain things that you experience that you don't know you're going to experience until you're in a marriage, and you're just like, what the fuck? And it's good to have, like, you know, close friends that can relate, but I don't feel like you should just exclude your circle to just be like, you know what, fuck you single bitches, like, you're not on my level, I need to be with only married women, because some married couples are more trash than single people. So it's like,
I mean, I was just like, yo, I was the single friend and I was the youngest friend on right. top of that. So if that was the mindset, like, I would have had no friends. Like, I legit would have had no friends. I don't know, that's just my opinion. I read another article about high achieving black women, because, you know, we are one of the most educated groups out here. How you okay. doing? And so, of course, that intimidates men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to date women who, I don't know, are out here bettering themselves for whatever reason.
I love that you said men and not just like narrowed it to black men, because it's men in general.
Oh yeah.
Like, for men. Sure. Yeah.
So, but I am pointing out black women, because it seems that like there have been studies, the article I'm reading on Psychology Today mm-hmm. Broke it down. Like, there was a study in 2009 about how, what does it say? Nearly twice the percentage of black women have never been married, you know, as opposed to the other races, white women and Asian women. That's what they have here.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about They break it down by income and education and all that good stuff. So women are always torn between their careers and their education and if they want to settle down, because a lot of women, you know, that are focused on their careers, they look up, they're
in their 40s and they're just like
married,
right? And you even see it not only in real life but being Mary Jane. You see like all these different shows where like same situation. Yes, indeed. Like you have this super successful woman that has been fighting for so long, whether it's education and fighting through, you know, adversities just to advance in your career, and then you look up and turn around and it's like, well, damn, like, no man, like, you know, no serious man where I'm not married, I don't have kids, like, now what? But some women are fine with that, and then other women kind of really get down on themselves because they feel like they have to fit into this ideal of what society says, oh, hey, you're kind of running late.
Right. So, this is just my opinion, based on, and I could be totally wrong, so y'all don't kill me. I'm just basing off of what I see. Mm-hmm. What I have noticed that when women get to a certain point where they just are like, oh my God, I'm still not married. Like, what is happening? They begin to lessen their standards and settle for some bullshit. And there's a whole story that I would want to get into, but that would create issues in my personal life. But I just don't understand how you, I feel like it's one or the other. You either lessen your standards or you are so set in like, no, I want all 65 things on my list.
On my list, checked off. And you turn away really good right. men.
Yeah. I just feel like people get to a certain point, age, whatever the case may be, where it's just like they start scraping at the bottom of the barrel because they just want somebody and ignoring all of the red flags just to say that they have someone. Or they asses are so like, no, he has to meet every criteria or I'm going to be alone. And then, I mean,
and then you end up being alone. You get what you ask for.
And that's why I feel like when I say the pressure is bullshit, because men won't get married. They don't have no problem going well into their 40s, 50s, however long before they get married, because they're going to find that the right one. We will be with the ugliest niggas ever in life, but these ugly niggas are always waiting for their Beyonce. And they're like, most of the time, they're not settling.
I was actually going to put it out there for the listeners and ask, like, the male listeners. And, like, you can hit us up on our social media or even email us. Like, do men get that kind of pressure? Like, I know, you know, their mom's probably like, well, when you going to marry somebody and bring me a baby? But, like, I wonder, like, in the depths of, like, the male circle, like, are they having those kind of conversations with, like, their guy friends? Or they, like, legit? Like, and I'm not talking about in their 20s because we know they talking about smashing hoes. But, like, in your upper age where you're in your 30s and maybe even in your 40s and you're a man that's well-established, no kids and no wife, are your male friends like, so what's good? Like, why are you not settling down? Like, is that something that comes up for men? Like, I'm really curious about that. Or is it just women that's getting that pressure? I'm sure they're
thoughts,
not getting it,
but I'm not.
I'm sure they're not getting it as much as we get it, because I feel like women get it from everybody, your family, your friends, like people that don't even know you like that. Oh, you're such a beautiful girl. You're not married? Where are your kids? Like, what's going on? Oh.
So I was going to bring that up too. So even when you do get married, the pressure doesn't stop, because as soon as your ass gets married, they want to know
when you're
going to
have a baby.
And look, it's just like,
but then they ain't satisfied, because as soon as you have one, they like, when you gonna have another?
When the next one.
Yeah. I got two, and people got the nerve to be like, when you having your next one? That's dead.
You said that with a lot of conviction.
Have you met my son? That's dead.
Love him.
Guys. I'm serious. It's like, so many people are invested on what the hell you should be doing. Like, no, don't worry about me and my ovaries and what we got going on over here. Like,
we have been asked, like, when we are going to have babies, and my closest friends know that I don't actually think that we can have babies, and I'm at a point where I really, really want one again,
I feel like that's just an insensitive question to ask anybody. Like, yeah, because you really, really don't know. You don't know what people are going through. One, they might not fucking want one. Or two, they may be trying and can't. Like, right. I just feel like it's me. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's so insensitive. And then you looking stupid with your foot in your mouth. Like, if somebody was like, well, look, bitch, we do want one, but we did this X, Y, Z. And they're like, oh, damn. Like, yeah, well, right. Shut up and mind your business. Like,
so then, and you know, so I do feel like the pressure for women sucks. I do want to point out though, this does not mean stay with your dumbass boyfriend for 15 years and be a ride or die and not be married. If that's not what you really want, right. If you really are just fine with just being with someone, because I do know some people who are just, they don't want to be married. They like,
child, I have like old aunties and stuff that had their boyfriends for 40 years and might as well have just been married, and they are content with not being married.
And that's fine. Don't tell me though that you're fine with, you know, just dating somebody for 10 years mm-hmm. when you know deep down inside your ass wants to get married. Like, that's not what this conversation is about. I want to put that disclaimer out there because I feel like there's pressure for women to get married. And I feel like somebody would hear this and be like, well, y'all were just talking shit about Kim Bella and Emily B. No. Them bitches wanted to get married during the first season of Love & Hip Hop. Okay?
So, for sure. How many years ago was that?
Right.
Just to set you guys straight.
So, what really actually sparked me wanting to talk about this, mm-hmm. and I was going to bring this up during tea time, mm-hmm. but when I had started watching the Chad Loves Michelle show, mm-hmm. a lot of what Michelle was saying in those earlier episodes was just that, you know, she didn't think she would ever get married because she'd already passed that age. And then I'm sure, you know, seeing like Beyonce and Kelly, who are married and have children, and even the former Destiny Child members are married and have kids. Well, Latavia's not married, but she has a kid, and Latoya has been married twice and mm-hmm. has kids and stuff. And so she mentioned that a lot. And
do Michelle even know them? I'm sorry.
No, she's friends with Latoya. Michelle and Latoya are friends.
Okay, I was thinking Latavia. I was thinking that in my head and then realized I said, Michelle, you know she wasn't around.
No, I do know her and Latoya are friends. I don't know about Latavia, though. But it just made me feel like, you know, some of the things that, I mean, now, look, they're not together anymore. And so Chad, I wonder, right. I wonder if the both of them, because he is in his 40s and he is one of those men who said that he always envisioned himself being married and he always, you know, so on and so forth. So I wonder if both of them were in a place where they wanted to be married so badly that they ignored those red flags. Because anybody watching that damn show can see.
For sure, on both ends. We was on like, Chad, don't do it, Chad.
Right.
And then, I mean, and not just saying, like, she was the problem, because it was definitely a lot of issues that came up that he needed to deal with as well, with, like, mm-hmm. his childhood and stuff like that. And it's just, like, I feel like the first serious person that they was attracted to and felt that, okay, this could be the one, they just ran with it. And like you said, ignore all the red flags. And it's like, maybe we need to work on ourselves a little bit more before we try to jump into this marriage. But you can even see towards the later episodes where she kept kind of pressing him out for a date. And he was just like, you know, I feel like we just need to keep going to counseling and see what the counselor says. And, you know, she felt the kind of way, like, you know, are you backpedaling? He was like, no, I just, you know, I don't want to rush it. I want to make sure that we're good before we make this next step. And watching it, even before it was, you know, put out there in real time that they broke up, I was just like, yo, I think he's like, I didn't know that I was getting myself into all of this. Like, I knew I loved her and I wanted to be with her, but I didn't know all that entailed, pretty much.
And I have more thoughts on that during tea time. So,
oh, okay. But we won't go too deep into it.
We won't go too...
Polls. Saturday, though. All right, I'm out of thought.
I was going to say something even worse.
Thank you.
Moving right along. So I have a list.
Yes, Listy. Yes, Listy.
So, on, I don't know if they're going by Mick or MIC, but it's MIC.com. 13 mm-hmm. lies we need to stop telling women about marriage. And as I go through the list, I'll tell y'all if I agree that we need to stop telling them lies or not, because there are some things that I'm just like, no, we need to keep saying that shit. So the first myth that we need to stop telling women is that women need to get married to be truly happy. I definitely agree we need to stop saying that shit. Mm-hmm. Although I was one of those people who felt that way. Like, I felt like I needed, in order for me to be happy, I needed to be with someone. Right. If you don't get married before 30, it will be too late. Agree. But again, I felt that way.
All right.
Women need to marry men. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I don't know who's, well, no, I'm sure some people are still telling their people that. Yeah, I mean.
No.
No. Do you, boo?
Right.
Women are better off financially if they settle down early.
I don't know if I agree with that, because it depends on who you settle down with.
Okay.
Because they could be leeching up off of you. Okay.
But if you get you a little sugar, sugar.
Yes, you might be.
Sugar, sugar.
So it just depends.
Successful women can't also have successful marriages. I don't know how I feel about this one, because I do think that successful women can. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it takes a certain kind of man.
It's like a certain kind of man or and spouse. And it's a lot of work on both parts, because, like, even looking at shows like Married to Medicine, and you see, like, the doctors, how they're so engrossed in their job that a lot of times they do neglect, like, the relationship right. part. So it would just take a lot of work. But I think it could be done, for sure.
Yeah. Number six is most other women your age are getting married. And in this example, they break down, like, statistics. In 2014, over 50% of American adults were single, which is a record high. Mm. So I guess statistically, this myth would not be true.
Right.
But we don't know every woman in the world. So if you have a group of 10 good girlfriends and 8 of them are married.
Then survey says.
Right. You know what I mean? So, like, I get that's something that we shouldn't say, but you have to consider, like, what's in someone's immediate circle. Yeah. And for some people, it seems like everyone their age is married.
Right.
Number 7, being married is more stable than just living together. You agree or disagree?
I don't think that they should say that, because what if your spouse has a bunch of debt?
I mean, they would have it even if you were just living together.
Well, if you're not married, then you wouldn't have to take on their debt, or that wouldn't be your problem. Like, if you're single, then you just dealing with your own shit and enjoying your own money. But when you get married, like, you got to kind of worrying about both of your finances. Or am I not understanding it right?
What it says, being married is more stable than just living together. Just because someone isn't married doesn't mean they don't have successful, long-lasting relationships. In fact, as marriage becomes increasingly delayed, the number of cohabitating couples is on the rise.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely misunderstood in that. Yeah, I was thinking I was saying something else. But yeah, do I agree with that? Stable. When we say stable, do we mean, like, we can cut this rent in half? So, like... Like, well, because that is definitely a true statement that, yeah, if it's more people, of course you're cutting bills in half as opposed to.
But I feel like you would be cutting those. If
you're still cohabitating. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
For me, when I hear the word, like, being married is more stable than just living together, to me, the only thing that means is when I think about, like, if something happens to someone, like, with their health. That's when that stability comes in. Because if you're not married, then you can't do certain things, you know, for your partner and so on and so forth. But everything else, I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, I was confusing at first, but yeah. Okay. I get it.
Number 8, if you slept with a lot of people, nobody would want to marry you. I feel like that's not true.
Yeah.
So, because I know a lot of hosts that's married.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. What are we saying now?
Number 9, divorce equals failure.
That's not true.
So I still have a hard one with that because I definitely look at divorce as failure.
I don't think it is. Because, like, what if you were one of these 23-year-olds who did, 23-year-olds that did get married at a young age and rushed into it, didn't realize who each other was, and you're just like, yeah, we got married too quick and got a divorce. That's not failure. It's just, nah.
For me, it would be failure.
It would be success because, like, y'all could stay married for 60 years and be miserable. So if you get divorced and you realize, like, you know, we tried it, it didn't work, like, it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't supposed to be us. Like, I wouldn't look at it as failure. That's just me personally, though.
I watched my father go through 2 stupid-ass divorces, and I always felt like, as a kid, that they could have did more, like, because I didn't know how much work you have to put in to have, like, a successful relationship. So, in my mind, I always felt like they just didn't try hard enough. They could have did more. Like, I just felt like they gave up. And that is the attitude that I have taken with me. Now, on the flip side, there was a point in my marriage where I was just like, I would just rather be by myself. Like, I don't want to go through none of this. I want to be happy. So, you know, paperwork drawn up. Like, we were there. But I still, even with me being able to move forward with the divorce, low-key, it still felt like a failure.
I don't know. I live in a household where in junior high school, I actually told my parents they just need to get a divorce. My parents have been married probably like 45, 50 some years. And I'm like, bruh, just like, don't be together. Like, y'all giving me a headache. Like, some people are just oil and vinegar, and I love them to death, but some people just ain't meant to be together. And just to stay together for the sake of the kids or to say that you didn't fail, like, it's an unhappy life.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just letting you know how I feel. And I think, like, it's interesting that we just both have different perspectives, and it is based upon how we grew up.
Right.
So, yeah. Number 10, if you want kids, better be married first. I had a kid before I was married. She lit as fuck. So,
right.
Stop saying that shit. Number 11, you'll know you've met the one when you want to marry them. Yeah, I don't even understand that.
That's kind of worded weird.
You'll know you've met the one when you want to marry them. Historically, marriages have been about merging property and stabilizing family ties. It was only in the last few decades that romantically orientated marriages have been in style.
I don't know, because back when I was with my high school into college sweetheart, I thought he was the one because I wanted to marry him. And that was the plan. And he obviously was not the fucking one. He was far from the one. He was like the 10. And I...
not the 10.
And I'm just like, no, I don't think so.
I don't know if I even believe in the one. I feel like if you want something to work, you will put in the work.
You'll put in the work. Like, I realize in my age that shit don't just happen. Like, right. All these people that try to make it seem like, oh, relationships should be easy. Like, there's no work involved. You're full of shit. You're full of shit. You're full of shit. Or you're still in the honeymoon phase. Like, you're full of shit. Like, it's work. And I'm not saying, when you say work, I'm not saying it has to be painful and it's not happy. But you have to make conscious efforts to keep certain things going. It's not just something that. A relationship and a marriage is not something that sustains itself. You have to put in the work to keep it afloat.
Right.
So,
number 12, the best way to celebrate marriage is a fancy wedding. Goes on to say that the average American wedding is $31,000.
I wish, but no.
Yeah. No. I don't know who's telling people that, because nobody
I know
is saying that shit.
No, and I know happily married people that definitely went to Justice of the Peace. So, no. That's right. It.
And then last but not least, we need to stop telling women what a traditional to have a traditional marriage and what a traditional marriage looks like. And, you know, we talked about that. We talked about, like, untraditional type relationships that people mm-hmm. have. You know, the traditional marriage that husband, wife, two kids thing, it doesn't, that's not the times.
That's not the times right now. Like, I mean, it is for some folks, but that isn't the quote-unquote American dream. Like, that's not what everybody is out here trying to achieve.
Yeah. So, that was it for my little list.
But yeah, I just think that everybody's idea of success is different. For one woman, they may be like, I don't want the tied downness of being married. I don't want kids because they're a pain in the ass, and I am living my best life with my friends, traveling, doing good in my job, and that might be success to them. Whereas there might be somebody else where success to them is getting married at a really young age and growing old with your high school sweetheart and having 17 kids. It's just, I don't think it should be something that society should be pressing this unfair pressure on, that, you know, people are side-eyeing you if you're hitting your 40s and you don't have any kids yet. Like, bruh, like, fuck out of here. Like, let me live my life and do me.
I'm only gonna side-eye you if I know that you low-key want it, but you faking like,
you yeah. That's now, if you're not being true to yourself and you really want it and you like putting up a front because maybe your spouse is not wanting it, so you're subduing your feelings or something like that. But like, yeah, if you legit, like, I know a married couple and like both of them are like, fuck out of here with kids. And like, that was their opinion and views. Yeah. And like, that was their views before they got married, and when they got married, it didn't change, and they still
and
in this
thing. And they be looking happy all the time.
Kidless in Seattle, kidless in Seattle, and having life
every weekend. They're just like, at the beach, look at the views.
Right, exactly. Litty. It's like, oh, gotta find a babysitter first.
Right.
But then I also had a friend that's cool, and the whole time we knew her, she was just like, F kids, I don't never want kids, like, blah, blah, like, for as long as we knew her. Honey got married and definitely had a kid within the first year of, or got pregnant, I should say, in the first year of her marriage. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just stay true to what the hell you really want, because she probably really wanted kids, but I think at the time she was in her whole phase, so she was trying to convince herself, like, I don't want to settle down, I just want to be in these streets. And whole time she wanted to be Susie Homemaker, which she is now. Right.
So I know for me, just, I don't know, I probably am still feeding into the whole get married thing, but I know that I'm actively trying to tell Mara that basically what I want her to do, especially in her 20s at the very least, is to find herself, experience being with herself, because I did not like being by myself, and I think a lot of that has to do with me not really liking myself and having to work through that piece, you know what I'm saying, and trying to find somebody to love me. Child. So that I didn't have to love myself. And it just, it's a whole bigger picture with me. So my thing with her is just like, no, you have to be like, you just have to be so content with who you are and what you have to bring. Mm-hmm. And before you could even think about marrying anybody.
Yep.
Like, you got to be happy with yourself, because these motherfuckers are going to drive you crazy.
For sure. I definitely agree. I'm definitely on the same page on how I'm going to raise Kylie when it comes to that. Like, please focus on you. And I'm not saying you can't date, but like, don't be feeling the pressure to be like, I got to, you know, rush to get in these serious relationships or get married and all this other stuff. Like, honey, look. The men will come, because you are going to be lit regardless. Right. Just work on you and figure out who you are and what makes you happy, so that when you find that lit man, or that man finds you, then you ain't out here like, oh, well, I kind of thought I liked this and I don't like that. Like,
right.
You know, do you, boo. Have fun. And yeah, the lockdowners will come.
All righty.
All right.
Tea time.
Tizzle, tea, tizzle, tizzle. Did you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I want us to start with that whole Chad and Michelle thing real quick.
Oh, yeah, since we have started on that.
Yeah. So, again, anybody that watched that show, kind of, I don't know, for me, I definitely saw it coming.
Definitely, a mile away. It was awkward at times.
Yes. It is not fair. Okay, how do I explain this? So, I battled with depression and have since forever, like since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. You have to be a certain, you have to be built to deal with someone that is depressed. I know I have said this the last two or three episodes. Like, you, it's not fair to say that in some ways. Like, sometimes I feel like it's not fair for me to expect JT to know that I'm having a down day. And so not to expect me to do so much, or not expect me to be the nicest person. Like, that's not fair to him.
Mm-hmm.
But some days that is what it is. And I have to come back and apologize and just be like, you know, I was having a moment. And it's not fair to him. But on the flip side of that,
you're like, is it fair for you to have to apologize for how you feel?
No, not that. I feel like if you love me the way that you say that you love me, you said that you want to be with me for better or for worse, this is my worst.
And so I'm sure that, like, they don't love you anymore, but it is overwhelming and a lot to deal with and draining, just as much as it's not as, because you can't compare to how a person feels when they're going through depression, but it's also draining to deal with that as well.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying, like, as a person that battles with depression, I don't want to feel this way.
Right.
I don't want to feel this way. And I definitely don't want to put my loved ones in that position where they have to deal with me and my mood swings and this is that and the third.
Right.
And so on top of whatever it is that I'm depressed about, I'm adding that onto that, knowing mm-hmm. that I'm causing this friction in my household.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's a lot of guilt and stuff like that.
Right. On top of the depression.
Right.
And it's just like, I get why he probably left her, because I'm pretty sure he left her. I get it. But I kind of feel like really, really bad for her. Because no, it's for just sure. Like,
she was really happy about that.
She was really happy. And then it's just like, I know that she is, I don't know. I know how I would feel. Mm-hmm. If I would feel like, I don't know how to explain it. It just takes a certain kind of individual to be able to love you through that. Like, to love you through that. And I think that that's really important. When you are someone that battles with depression, you do need someone to love you through that, because you do feel unworthy. And Michelle used to say that often on the show, that she feels unworthy of that man's love, and she doesn't feel like she deserves to have someone that's good to her, and so on and so forth. So having someone that's there and supportive, and I'm not saying that this person should drain you of all of your energy all the time, and this person should be disrespectful, and this is that and the third, but to stand by you and say, you know what, I'm not feeling this, we need to, like, do the work so that you can cope with your depression better, and so that I can learn to love you better when you're going mm-hmm. through that episode. I mean there's just, I have just a lot of thoughts about that. I would be devastated if JT left me because he couldn't handle my depression.
Right, but I feel like it's devastating on the other end, because I feel like, and then just, you know, just looking at the show, like, I feel like Chad genuinely loved her, but, like, looking at his own mental health, I just feel like he just couldn't handle it. Like, I mean, he probably thought in the beginning, like, you know, in the sessions where he was like, you know, I'm gonna be here for you, like, I'm gonna make sure you drink your water like you're supposed to, and that you're eating, and, like, hey, you know, did you make sure you did some walks? And, like, since he's used to caring for people anyway, like, he was saying, like, how he used to take care of his father, and his father would say he was, you know, suicidal and would try to kill himself. you know, he's used to being the take carer, but it probably was a lot of pressure on him and draining. So it's like, I kind of feel bad for both of them. I really feel bad for her because she was already going through depression during the happiest time. And so I'm sure, like, hopefully it doesn't make her spiral into another, you know, fit of depression, because, you know, that's kind of been taken away from her. So hopefully she has, like, you know, a good support system where they're there for her. But I don't know. I kind of feel for him too.
I just feel like, you know, if this this is the person that you said you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, and that is a piece that comes with that person. Like, it's not going to be all gravy all the time. Like, I'm sure that she wasn't having those depressive episodes every single day.
No, she wasn't. You can tell in the clips, like, they was having fun times. Like, you know, they'd be acting goofy or going out. But I just, look.
I just feel like that's fucked up. Like, I'm looking at it like the for better or for worse piece. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially.
But then you get to the point where, like, when is the line where it's for better or for worse, where you're staying with somebody and it's starting to affect you negatively, regardless of how much you love them and what promises you made that you were going to be there for better or for worse. When it starts affecting you and your own mental health, when are you crossing the line to, like, okay, you're just being stupid for sticking into this because now it's negatively impacting you? You can say for better or for worse for any daggone marriage, because everybody that get married says that. But
I just feel like your mental health is something different, though. Like, it's not like something that you can really help. You can do things to try to cope with it, but it's not like for better or for worse when a nigga try to use that after he cheated on someone. No, that was a fucking conscious effort that you went out there and you chose to cheat. Like, mm-hmm. to me, that's a line. But something like your mental health, you can't help that.
Right, I get it. And I'm not making it seem like you're blaming the other person. Like, God damn it, get it together. Like, it's not that, but, like, you may have every intention of trying to be there and support them, but, like, that's a lot. Like,
go to therapy. Y'all gotta do the work. It's not going to be easy on either one, but I just feel like to be like, I can't deal with your mental health issues, I gotta go. Like, my guy.
For real? But they went to counseling.
First of all, they only been together for a year and a half.
But they literally was going to counseling, and he even started his own personal sessions. So I feel like he was doing, and then we honestly don't know everything that was going on behind the scenes as well. We know what they were putting out there on the show, and I didn't even watch the most recent one. So I don't know how it went down and what sparked it, but I don't know.
Yeah. But I get that. I'm saying, and they have a unique thing, you know, that whole, I know for me personally, them having not lived it, even in the same state.
Right, right.
I personally wouldn't get engaged to someone that didn't live in the same state, because honestly, when y'all see each other, y'all haven't seen each other in a couple weeks or a few months.
It's always the honeymoon phase.
Always the honeymoon phase. And so I feel like for them, the reality with him moving to California and seeing them being together on a day-to-day basis, you learned a lot more about each other that you probably didn't know, because up until that point, they were in honeymoon phase the whole mm-hmm. time. But then adding the mental health issues on top of that, it probably was a lot. I just feel like that's why motherfuckers shouldn't be getting married so soon.
Well, at least they didn't get married yet. They was just engaged. So at least they ain't safe for better or for worse yet. He said, I was about to say it, and then I renewed.
Right. Well, JT, let me tell you, black ass, something. I don't give a fuck. You stuck with me. Then you better not leave me because I'm depressed. I'll fuck you up. Mm-hmm. That I have another topic I want to talk about, but I'm gonna see what your little tea time.
My little tea ain't that deep, pause, but it was just about like some little shows and some stuff. But I did see that
Lord. Hold on, what shows? Because I'm behind on a bunch of shows.
Love and Hip Hop.
Behind.
All right. I was just gonna make one little statement, and it's not gonna tell anything.
Oh, okay.
After watching this last episode, I feel like I see why Kimbella looked the way she did when Jewels proposed to her, and she was just like looking unimpressed. I'm like, oh yeah, yes, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, like.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see it, and yeah. Anyway, because I don't wanna.
She still said yes, so.
She I definitely guess. Still said yes, so she wasn't that mad.
Right.
Are you Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Behind.
Okay. All right, so we won't talk about shows. So I'll just talk about... I literally
spent all weekend...
I know, yeah. And I'm happy for you, so I'm giving you a pass, but we are going to discuss that next week. So I guess just, like, random celebrity gossip or whatever, like, Cardi and said that she was done with Offset and she was tired of his shit, and that she feel like he's a great guy and they're great business partners, but she's tried to work through some stuff, and this man is up here like, I want my wife back, I love my wife, I want to be with her after, you know, he hit her with a y'all won. But and then they got that side joint up here on a joint crying. What kind of shit is this? She up here crying.
This bitch said I didn't think their marriage was that serious. It's a whole marriage.
A whole ass marriage with a kid and everything. Like, what do you mean? And she crying about, I didn't mean to come and break up no happy home. And I really hope that they work through this and get back together. Ma'am, you knew he was married when you were sleeping with him. And I'm not just blaming it on her because he's in the wrong as well. But honey, please stop. Get off social media crying. You look stupid. You look hella fucking stupid.
I don't blame her at all, but that shit was dumb. Shut the fuck up.
Right, shut up.
Why are you on TMZ crying? No one gives a fuck. Shut up.
Y'all, both of y'all wrong. Get the fuck out of here. And then got her a little boo.
Posted up. I was coming there for that, too. That was the next little thing.
Yeah. So apparently, like, there's some dude, like, I guess it was her first love, and they was dating back when they was 16 or something. Mm. But Nikki always got another new boo. That's what I'm gonna call it.
She got we're not gonna bring up the fact that he got charged with things.
No, but no, I don't know that. See, I didn't get that deep into the D. And he got charged with what?
So, listen, y'all love Nicki Minaj, and she has songs that I will still play to this day.
For sure.
But I'm calling bullshit, because she definitely was talking about, oh, you got to be a king to get up in me, and da da da. And that's then this motherfucker, when he was 16, apparently he was dating someone. According to her, they were dating each other. He was 15, the girl was 16 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the mother pressed charges against him because they said that he was trying to rape the girl. And you know, people on the internet are saying that is not a true story, but a knife was involved. And so, you know, when all of the rumors were floating around, that's when Nicki Minaj came in to add that they were in a relationship. Because at first, when I was reading the story, they didn't specify that her new boo and whoever this woman is were dating. But Nicki Minaj was like, they were in a relationship. I just want everyone to know that, like, your spouse or your significant other can still rape you. So I don't know why she said that, like, that meant
that. Like, that negated what happened. Right. So is that what was... I did see something where she's supposed to be suing some news anchor or news station because they said something, like, she was like, you're saying lies, and, like, I hope you got a good lawyer. Like, were they talking about that story, maybe?
I don't know. I didn't read
the whole thing.
But I know that he then went to jail for manslaughter, and he just got out in 2013.
Oh, so okay, King.
Exactly. And so, like, I know some of y'all out here is just like, well, I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. You cannot be... Listen, Nicki was throwing all the shade because Offset was a cheating asshole, and he was, and he is.
I was say he is.
But you cannot be out here with a new dude. She been with a new dude, you know, like, right after Safari, it was Meek for maybe 2 years. And
right after Meek.
It's been, like, back to back to back.
So that's she on her Drake back to back.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then what you're not going to do is get in a relationship with a whole sexual offender because he's registered. Ooh. You're not going to fucking start dating that nigga and then try to tell us that you a queen and only
like you looking down
to slide up in you. Girl.
Like, that's dead.
Girl. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to be like, make this an age thing, but dating the bad boy at 36,
you need to get your life.
Get your life together. You date the hood niggas when you're 18, okay? Right. You get that good, because it's always good hood dick. You get that then. But when you older, you... That,
so she got too much that. To lose. Like, what...
They said he looked like the type that steal $100 out of her purse while she sleep. I died. So,
child.
Good luck, sis. I hope
be blessed. Be blessed. Yeah.
So can we please? Who is the king of R&B for this generation? Because this nigga done lost his mind. What's his name?
You talking about Jacquees?
That's his, yeah, that guy.
21 with no kiss, say yeah.
What in the black ass hell?
So wait a minute, he said that about himself?
He said he was the king of R&B in this generation. And that's why if you look like on the Shade Room, all these R&B dudes, like he got Jay Holiday to speak up, the nigga that sang the other bad song. and I'm just trying to figure out like, hold on. Other than this BED song, what other songs does this man even have?
Look, I need him. I think he's just trying to stay relevant right now while he ain't putting out no new music. Because between these covers that he was doing and this, I'm just like, look, sir.
So people have been coming out the woodwork to talk about
who really is
the king of R&B. And I would just like to know who.
For
who
our generation, I mean... Oh my gosh, that's such a difficult story. I'm just like, so for the youngins, because I'm not even thinking about like older groups. Like,
so first of all, I guess I need to figure out when you say our generation.
That's
means.
Another thing because I'm hella old because I could be like Bobby Brown, like, and he like, dog, you hella old because like that's not my generation. So I'm trying to think of somebody younger. Like,
well, not your generation, for his generation. So he's 24. Bobby Brown wouldn't be in the same generation.
So what am I supposed to be like? I guess Chris Brown. Who's another singer? Like, I don't.
But see,
a young joint. Like who?
That's where that kind of gets tricky for me because if Jacquees is 24. Chris Brown is like 30, 31.
So technically, he ain't even really in his generation.
But then Usher is what, like 36, 30, in between 36 and 38, maybe?
Well, he out of there too.
But when you talk about Jacquees and then you talk about Chris Brown, people talk about Chris Brown and they talk about Usher. So it's like,
Chris they put Brown, them like, in the same. The cusp. Right.
Both of the generations.
But so my thing is like, when you say in generations, are you just talking about age group? Are you talking about like, are they still putting out music and relevant to this day? So technically they're still in that generation for music wise. Like, it's kind of like, we need specifications of what you mean this generation. Like, because if you're just talking about age wise, then technically we can't even lump Chris Brown and Usher in that. They're not in their 20s.
I don't know. All I know is somebody created a list and it had that guy that I don't like on the list.
But he wouldn't even, because is he in his 20s?
No.
Oh, then
he's older than Chris Brown.
Then look, he's not in there either.
I don't
know. If we're just talking about age, like if we're talking about young, relevant singers now, then okay, I can see all of them being lumped in together.
So I don't know if they're talking about the age because they also had Tank on the list and Tank is like 40.
Oh, that man ain't in this in the same age group as
that's what I felt. I was like, listen, Tank definitely came out with the Win Wee. He had the banger for that.
Yeah.
But like, and Tank does put out music consistently.
But it's for a mature crowd, I believe. It ain't these
was one of
joints.
His biggest hits. It's not like the songs that he was putting out previously were hitting like that one did.
Right.
So I'm looking at it. I'm looking at like the king of R&B. Let's break that down. That's more than just relevancy, because you could be relevant today and forgotten about tomorrow.
Like, you have to be putting out hits and like
hits, like complete albums, can perform,
making
can
some classics.
Like, and that's what I'm saying, the longevity of it, because honestly,
well, ain't nobody 23 got no longevity yet. What the fuck?
And so I feel like you should feel that way. You should always, whatever field you're in, you should feel like you that nigga when you in that field. Right. But to come out and say, I'm this generation's king of R&B, like, it's not a host of other niggas in front of you that actually can put work out and say, well, hold on, sis, because I got Grammys and I got this and I got that. Like,
right.
What do you have? You're 21 with no kids. That's your claim to
fame. Say yeah.
So, I don't like dude. I think he's gross. But for the previous, I guess the previous generation, I mean, like, R. Kelly has, and I'm going, and I don't, and I feel bad saying it, but R. Kelly can write, he can produce, he got classics, he can perform, like, so, and a lot of people were saying, like, he's the king of R&B. That's what people were saying. Now, I know people will argue, you know, you got your Bobby Browns and all that good stuff.
I love me some Bobby, so.
My opinion, if I'm thinking overall king of R&B, the bullshit, the grossness aside, I would say overall it's R. Kelly. That's just my opinion. But then when you're moving into the next generation, I won't say it's this generation or whatever. I don't know how the generation thing is being broken up.
How
I'm
is
not
it separated?
Clear on that.
Right.
But I'm like, you have Usher. People are really saying Chris Brown. I don't agree.
I think it's Chris Brown, but I know Chris Brown does a lot of pop stuff too. So he doesn't just do R&B.
I don't think he can perform that well. I think he dances really well, but he doesn't really sing and dance really well. Like, Usher can sing and dance really well. When Chris Brown gets in his dancing bag, he doesn't sing. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that's just my opinion.
No, I'm listening.
People go up for Chris Brown, and I don't think that he's not a talented person. I just feel like he should work more on being able to pop, block it, and sing, because Usher can pop, block, and sing.
But does that make him not a king, or Usher more of a king because he can dance and sing together?
Well, I'm
at the same time.
I'm looking at everything, so I'm looking at,
because R. Kelly ass wasn't out here dancing and singing.
He wasn't, but he was producing and so on and so forth. He was developing other artists. What is Chris Brown doing?
I don't know. He putting out more music than Usher. Itchy ass. Anyway, look.
Usher got classic albums, though. What's a classic Chris Brown album?
No, I'm not getting this. But is Usher putting out? When was the last time Usher put out something? Was that
this
recently?
This year. Like 4 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. Usher has 8701 and Confessions. Both of them.
No, I'm not. I'm not down in it.
The but My Way album.
Okay. So who else was on the list?
Well, fuck the list. I'm talking about, let's go back to what are the categories for making someone a king of something? Because I'm looking at it more than just who put out something recently. My thinking is like, who's writing, who's producing, who has the
that
hits,
makes you
who
a
has
king? You gotta be a producer too.
I'm not finished. Who has complete albums? Who has classic albums? Who has classic songs? Like, I'm thinking
well, shit,
a complete package.
But then I guess there's only one king now, R. Kelly, because all these people ain't like, producing and writing and singing and molding new artists and stuff. So I guess R. Kelly wins, because who else is doing that shit?
So even if you took the producing out, okay, take the producing out and take the creating new artists, who has the complete albums, the complete classic albums, the classic hits, who can perform really well, who can write really well, like, who, that's when I'm thinking
I should be
king,
writing his stuff.
I'm sure he does. I don't know for a fact, but even if you take that away, what is Chris Brown's classic albums? I'm still waiting.
I'm all for Chris Brown. I'm talking about other people, like,
well, who would the
so we looking at R. Kelly and Usher in your book?
Well, I'm not looking at R. Kelly, because I feel like R. Kelly is not in the same
Oh,
generation.
So you're talking about, like, you're going down the age group. So right now, you're thinking Usher is the dude.
Yeah. For the king of R&B, I'm just like, I can't think of a album from another gentleman, you know, that has that I can listen to all the way through, like it just came out yesterday. I mean, it's damn sure not the people that came to speak up. Somebody Pleasure P from Pretty Ricky commented. Child? Exactly. Eric Bellinger, which a lot of people don't even know who he is.
Who?
You have to be you have to be a real big R&B head to know who he is. Who else was commenting? Like I said, Tank was on the list. Tyrese, he chimed in. you know, y'all do the light skinned nigga that y'all really like. He was on there.
Who's the light skinned dude you really like?
The one I hate.
Oh, okay. He's light skinned? He's considered light skinned? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else did they put on there? Yeah. I'm like, out of those folks. If you're excluding Usher, because I mean technically Usher did come out in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
so maybe we don't put him in this generation of things. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't argue music with people.
I'm saying Usher because
I'm
people
saying
be having hits, but they don't be having completes anything else. So
I'm sticking with Bobby Brown. I'm old, so.
That's not in the same generation.
He's in my generation.
That's not the same generation. So, that's not, we're talking about Jacquees.
Well, I'm going to just say I don't listen to this generation's R&B. And then that'll get me out of the argument.
No, so, you know, someone did say that, especially, and they brought up Chris Brown when they said that, because they were like, honestly, when you're talking about R&B, a lot of these dudes that y'all putting in the list, they don't even make R&B songs. A lot of them are either making pop songs or them trapping beat songs, mm-hmm. where they basically rapping. And so that...
Like the dude August Alsina, he do like that trap.
Like Chris Brown. Shit. Yeah. Chris Brown be rapping.
Yeah.
On a bunch of songs.
He had a whole mixtape where he was rapping.
Right. And then he does his pop song. Like, Chris Brown gives us a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right, August Alsina. I forgot about him. You know, he probably was in a damn mix, too, now that I'm thinking about it.
I need him to sit down.
No, when I say all of them, Jeremiah, the birthday sex dude, said Jesus. Something. When I say
everybody, I mean, did Omarion jump? So everybody that sang R&B, like Marcus Houston, like everybody was just like, yo, what about me? Like, what do you mean?
I think they should just have a sing-off. You know what I'm saying? Let us...
Oh, and a dance-off, because Omarion could dance. Like, they need to sing and dance. Do it for Lil Saint one more time.
Okay.
And sing.
Moving to the next segment of our show.
I know our listeners like, goodbye.
I would love for the listeners to chime in, though. Let us know who y'all think the king of R&B is. Honestly.
I'm sure some of y'all are young enough to be in this generation to let us know who your king of R&B is. Let us know.
The king of R&B is Beyonce.
Ooh, and then there it is.
There it is. So, moving along, because your fave could never.
Right. You are stupid.
Did you have any more tea?
Mm-mm. I'm all tapped out of tea.
All right. good.
Bad. It is roughly 2 weeks until Christmas. Mm. I have not purchased not one present.
Woo!
And not one piece of decoration has been put up.
Jesus.
And I'm really not caring. Okay. But I don't know. Maybe I'll care. I don't know when the caring will kick in. But I'm sure my child is concerned. Because she's asked where this damn elf on the shelf is and why it has not arrived yet. And I was like, well, the elf usually doesn't come until they see trees and decorations. And she's looking at me like, whoa, bitch, put them up. Like, what are you doing?
I thought you would have been at least here for the elf on the shelf because you use that to make sure she's good.
Yeah, well, mommy on the shelf is tired as hell and I just have not put it up. So maybe this weekend we'll see how that goes. So that's the bad, because I'm sure my child thinks the Grinch is stealing Christmas because we don't have anything. not near peace. Let's see. Good. Oh, So my bestie has been out of town for work for a little while, and she actually comes back this weekend. So I'm excited to see my lovely. So I might have to see her. Let's see. Something I want to release is this cold weather.
Oh my God.
And the belief that two hoodies and a pea coat equals a winter coat, because I have been cold as hell.
I'm
So,
over winter.
look, already,
What
it
is the
just got here.
purpose?
It just got here, and I want to bid it adieu because I am cold and I need to invest in a nice big winter coat. I don't care if I have to go back and get the old Eddie Bauer's or go get me a damn North Face, or I don't know. I need to do something because it's a cold winter and I need to bundle up. I am cold every day.
I would not mind if JT got stationed in San Diego at this point
Right.
because I don't like the cold. I think us living in the desert, while it does get cold there,
It's not like this.
it's not winter cold. It's
Right.
like
A little
fall cold.
breeze, right. And it has been so cold that literally it dries your skin in 0.2 seconds. Like, I have been putting on the most moisturizer on my face, on my lips, and my lips are still dry. And I probably do need to drink more water. That probably sounds like dehydration as well with all this drinking. But even my children, like, I will give them baths and then lotion them all up, put them oil and the daggone Aquaphor, and they come back from school and daycare like they have been rolling around in flour. And I'm confused on where all the moisturization in their skin went. So I need Old Man Winter to kick rocks. I would like to release. That. What about you?
So something bad that happened this past week was just the argument that I brought up.
Yeah.
I found myself being like kind of petty, which I said I would not do moving forward. I have to check myself and hold myself accountable and make sure that I'm owning my piece in what happens in my marriage. And like I said, I was kind of being a little petty.
And that's
And
very grown up of you
actually,
to admit that and, reflect back on that.
honestly, the only reason why we made up is because I woke up and I was like super ready to go. And I even told him that I was like, yeah, I just need to catch this nut and then I'm gonna be mad at you afterwards. But I wasn't, because it ended up being real good. So.
Oh my gosh, listeners, we apologize. Oh, she doesn't apologize.
I
I
don't.
apologize.
I don't. So yeah, we gotta let that. I just need to let that go. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm sure I'll have another petty moment. I just don't want to get into the habit of that.
Right, the low
Because
blows.
not the low blows. Like, I would do the silent treatment thing, and they actually talk about how silent treatment is a form of abuse. Like of verbal abuse, or I guess not
Is
verbal
it
abuse.
really?
They have like articles about it if you look it up. And honestly, I'm taking accountability, but I know the listeners about to be like, the hell? Because I'm definitely about to throw this accountability away. When I was younger, when my mother used to get upset with me, she wouldn't speak to me. So it's kind of a learned behavior
Right.
for me. Like
Right.
when I'm upset, I just won't talk to you. Like
Right.
you can be in the same house and I'll walk right past you and act like you don't exist. So
Right.
that's just one of those learned behaviors I have to unlearn. So we're
Right.
gonna let that go. Something good that happened this week is that I was able to recognize that and move past and get my dick. In the next week, in the next week, okay. So, my father's second wife, I called mommy. She passed away last year. I'm not the type to remember dates when people pass unless it's like near a significant date. Like I remember when my brother passed because it was 3 days after his birthday. Like I can't remember, forget that.
Right.
So my sister, she put something up about her passing that day. And I think, or I thought, that I handled death really well. I can you know, be sad during like the funeral, but then after that kind of like move on.
Right.
But I like kind of broke down this past weekend because mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, whenever my mother and I are going through things, I always had mommy and right. I could always talk to her. And now it's just like, I don't have anybody to talk to right. like that.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that kind of upset me. And then today my sister posted another picture, which really took me out. The day that she passed, she had reached out and said she needed to go to the hospital. And my sister was like, well, you need to go. Don't wait until the morning. Go. And her caption was basically saying, like, I should have got up and taken her to the hospital because she passed an hour after that text. And it was just a mess. And so while I still stand firmly in what I said last week, which is that I'm not calling y'all niggas because I don't like to talk on the phone. I just need to make a better effort to text more, mm-hmm. reach out to my family. I feel like I do a pretty good job with my friends, but I sometimes take for granted that, like, I have certain family members that are getting older, or I have certain family members that are sick. And not even just that, like, my brother was 22 when he passed. So,
right. So it don't even matter.
It don't even matter. You know, I just need to do better with reaching out and speaking to my family. And I need to see them more. And I just got to do better.
I love it. I'm with it. So I guess we are wrapping up on that note. Listeners, we thank you so much for tuning in, as you guys do every week. We ask that always that you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And we threw a couple of questions out there, and we're definitely going to post them as questions of the day. So we ask that you go ahead and either shoot us an email, and we can post some of your opinions maybe on our post at thechattypatties@yahoo.com, or when we post our questions of the day on our Instagram and Twitter, The Chatty Patties. Just weigh in and let us know what you think about this, you know, this whole situation with women being pressured, you know, with marriage and that sort of thing. And we thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll chat with you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.